Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area of Miami, Florida. Please join us as a special guest speaker comes now and challenges our hearts with a dynamic message from God's Word.
Actually, she lives in Tampa. But she comes to us, and it's not easy to get someone from the district here in the church. In fact, let me just say something. We've been a church for 22 years. We've never, ever gotten an official from the district, person that comes. The district, you know, is in charge of hundreds of churches in Florida, known as Peninsula Florida District. And we're so, and so to get somebody here is tough. And so it's awesome to be able to have Deanna Schrodes with us, because she is the director of the women's ministries for all the women's ministries in Florida. So she does quite a bit of traveling. She has an amazing word that God's going to use her word to speak to you. Now, keep this in mind. You're not here just to listen to someone talk. You're here because you want to hear God speak to you. And I really believe that she's got a word that's going to be God speaking to you. I feel blessed and privileged to have her with us. And I want you to give her a nice welcome, Deanna Schrodes. God bless.
Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. How many of you appreciate Pastor Penton? Hallelujah. And Odalis, let me tell you, I've been friends with Odalis for many years, and I love and appreciate her so much. And if you don't already know you're blessed, let me just inform you, you are blessed. You are greatly blessed as a church to have the pastors that you have. I love to come to Miami. I've been here many times, and it's one of my favorite places to come to. I love, because of the people. The people. I love the people. And I love, yes, the food, the people. You know, you get cafe con leche when you come into the church. And, you know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. But if you want to increase your prayer life, this is the place you need to come, because as soon as you start driving, you will start praying at a greater degree. Yes. So I've been here for 4 or 5 days, and everywhere I drive here, I'm just, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me, because I don't know the roads. You know, I don't know the roads. I've been here, you know, quite a number of times, but I'm learning the roads. And, you know, anytime I can even be stopped in traffic and people behind you are beep, 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 you know. You guys probably just, it's normal to you now, so you don't realize how hard it is when you're a newcomer. It never gets normal. Never gets normal? Okay. Yeah, yeah. That right, that is your normal, but I'm still learning it. I'm still learning it. But I'm so privileged to be here today. I can't believe I'm the first speaker from the district. This is so exciting. I am the person. Woo! I feel like I've hit the jackpot today, because I get to be the first person from the district, and I bring you greetings from the district office, which is in Lakeland, Florida. And I am indeed so blessed to be the women's ministries director. And my husband and I have been pastoring for 28 years now, and we pastor Celebration Church Tampa. And I was on staff there full time as a pastor as well, working at the church every day. And then when I became director almost 2 years ago, I transitioned full time there to the district office. And so I make that trip from Tampa to Lakeland to work there at the district office and to oversee the women's ministries of our churches. And believe me, it is exciting. I love it. I love every minute of it. And I'm not exaggerating or just telling you that, but I really, truly do love it. And I'm so privileged to be here with you today. And I can't believe I'm the first person from the office to ever come here. So I'm just thrilled. I'm excited. Woo! Yes. I'm serious. I feel blessed. Well, today we're going to start out in Luke 8 in just a moment, if you'll go there. But I'm going to encourage you today. I'm hoping that when you leave today, your faith is built and you're feeling fresh hope come into your spirit today, especially if you have been waiting for something. How many of you have been waiting for something for God to do in your life? Yes, me too. Me too. And that's okay. Let me tell you, as Pastor said today, you're waiting on things. You know, you're wondering if God sees what you're going through. For those of you who may be struggling with that today, and you're thinking, does God see? Rest assured, God sees. And the word that God has put in my spirit today to share with you and to get down in your spirit and to have you just allow that to just be sealed to your heart is this: just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Can you turn to your neighbor and say that? Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And before we go to Luke 8, I want to tell you two things that have happened just recently in the past year to build your faith. Before I was women's director, I was running the prayer meetings at our church twice a week, and there were several things that we really pressed in on for a very long time, and one of them was a young lady named Kaylin Rice. Her parents are on staff at our church. She was 10 years old at the time that we received this prayer request. She's now 15. When she was 10 years old, she was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. The doctors gave her no longer to live than about 30 years old. They told her she would probably never get married, never have children, never live past 30. She was in the hospital time and time again. I mean, it was nothing for Kaylin to be in the hospital for a stretch of 2 to 3 weeks at a time. And she would have breathing problems. At one time, she was, you know, one time they were ready to call hospice. Things were so bad. And so we would pray about this, you know, all the time, but especially on our two prayer meeting times, we would just circle the sanctuary. I remember just circling hundreds of times and just Kaylin Rice, we're pressing in for Kaylin Rice over and over again. And last year, her parents, Doug and Rachel, were at the hospital for another one of her long stays, 2 to 3 weeks, and they decided they were going to go out and get some dinner. And so they went out to get some dinner, and they were coming back in an hour or two, and when they came back to the room, there were several doctors in Kaylin's room, and they had taken some additional tests that her parents didn't know about. And right away, her mother became upset about it. Not only did she say, you know, you didn't tell us about these tests, but she said, we've already had these tests. Now we have to pay for them again? She said, we can't afford these tests. We can't pay for these tests. And the doctor said, Mrs. Rice, calm down. Calm down. You're not going to have to pay a thing for these tests. He said, when you were gone, we sensed that something was shifting. Something was changing. And something just told me to take these tests again. He said, Mrs. Rice, I don't know how to explain it, but your daughter no longer has cystic fibrosis. Hallelujah. 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 She has a normal life expectancy. She's been completely healed by the power of God. Time has gone by. Months and months have gone by. And she's healed. After 5 years. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. I was in Africa preaching last year for a couple weeks, and we used to have this thing where my husband wouldn't want to call me or text me and tell me bad things when I was away because he would think it would be distracting. You know, you want somebody to enjoy a trip. But now we just have a thing where, you know, we can't pile things up, you know, and it just gets difficult, you know, when you're away. So he will tell me now if anything happens. And he contacted me when I was in Africa, and he said, I really hate to tell you this, Deanna. I know it's going to upset you. But Pastor David, another one of our pastors, said Pastor David was just diagnosed with cancer. Well, I was very upset. Very upset. Pastor David is just a dear man, and he and his wife Mary are just amazing people, and he's taken over the prayer meetings since I have transitioned, and he's done a wonderful job. And all I could think was, Lord, why? I mean, it was just so distressing, and I began to pray even as I was on that trip. And so over the next 2 weeks, Pastor David had many different tests, and, you know, he was going through procedures, you know, to get ready to go on chemo and radiation. And he got ready to go to Moffitt Cancer Center, that was, you know, in the Tampa Bay area, and he was getting ready for these treatments. And 2 weeks, you know, we just began to press and pray and, you know, just call his name in prayer and just believe God. It's Christmas time, and he went back to Moffitt, and they gave him another scan just to prepare, see exactly how, you know, where things were, what stage things were at, and get him ready for his treatment. And the doctor pulled up a chair after this scan that he had, and he said, Mr. Jenkins, it appears you have an early Christmas present. He said, we can find no trace of the cancer. No trace of the cancer. Hallelujah. Do you know God is still doing miracles like that today? God is doing miracles. Hallelujah. At this past year's Thrive Conference for our women's ministries for the state, we literally saw, we have photos of tumors on a lady's hands. Tumors. They were there on Friday. On Saturday, they were gone after she was at the altar. Praise God. You know, God is doing these kind of miracles today. And so if you're waiting on something, I just want to encourage you. Now let's turn to Luke 8. Luke, the 8th chapter. And we're going to be at verse 40. Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. And then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. And as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. 12 years. But no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know the power has gone out from me." And then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. And in the presence of all the people, she told him why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." What I want you to notice here is 12 years. 12 years. But she pressed through to touch the hem of his garment. And there are some things I tell you today. You must press through and not lose faith. We see our circumstances around us. We see that things are dark. We see that things are worse than they've ever been before in some of our lives with various things. With a child that we're waiting to come home. Maybe your child is 30 years old, 40, 50 years old, and you say they don't know Christ. And you're tempted to give up. Maybe you've been praying for your husband or wife to come to Christ for many years. Maybe you've had diabetes or heart disease or whatever for a long time. And you say, you know, I've been waiting. I've come to the altar numerous times. Nothing's changing. 12 years. 12 years. I want you to realize that God's not dead. His power is alive today. The Bible says that if the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your body. His healing power is real. And you need only to press through, whether it be for that troubled child, whether it be for the spouse that doesn't know Christ, or for your physical body, or for provision for your family, whatever it is, God sees. You may doubt that God sees, but as Pastor said today, God sees. He is aware. You are always on his mind. His power is real. Six months ago, sitting in a restaurant, Columbia restaurant in Ybor City in Tampa, with my sister, who is a backslider. She used to know Christ, and she's walked away from Christ. And I was sitting there with her. She was visiting me from Baltimore, which is where I'm from. And my sister, my husband, my daughter, and I were sitting there, and my sister began to update me about my niece. My niece is 23 years old. Her name is Lexi. She's been on drugs for 5 years, and we've been praying. And I've known all along the things happening with Lexi, but on this day, it was very critical. My sister was very down, and when she sat there at the table, the tears were running down her face, and she said, "Deanna, it's at a critical point where I've lost hope." She said, "I am expecting any day to get a call from the medical examiner's office and they're going to say, come identify your daughter." She said, "I'm expecting any day for her to overdose. That's what it's coming to." And I said, "Well, I don't believe that." And she said, "Well, it's reality." I started giving her this message right there at the table. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And of course, she rolled her eyes. She said, "I don't have any more faith. I'm not a believer. And I'm preparing in my heart to lose my daughter." And I said, "Well, I'm not." She goes, "Well, I hope you have enough faith for the both of us." That was the second week in May. Second week in July, I was sitting at my desk at the district office, and my niece called. Now, I haven't talked to her for a long time, because you got to understand, you don't exactly call your aunt who is a preacher when you're out there in every drug house, you know, a different drug house every night of the week, sleeping and, you know, all that. You don't exactly call your aunt who is a preacher. So I have not heard from her for a while. But she called on this day, and her exact words when I answered the phone were, "Auntie Anna, I'm going to die." She said, "I'm going to die unless I get some help." And I said, "Well, Lex, are you ready to turn your life over to the Lord?" And she said, "Yes." And we prayed for her to receive Christ. And then I said, "Well, what are you going to do next?" And she said, "I want to go to rehab." I said, "Well, what does that look like to you? What do you mean? Where do you want to go to rehab?" And she says, "Well, I've been looking at this 30-day rehab. I said, "Lex, I beg you. I said, as a pastor, I have seen so many people go to a 30-day rehab 20 times and never change. I said, please don't do that. I said, will you please consider Teen Challenge? And for those of you who don't know, Teen Challenge is a program of the Assemblies of God. It's, you know, one of the best programs. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's got an incredible success rate. And my husband and I have dealt with one in New York that's just really phenomenal. And so I called them and said, can you get her in? And they said, yes, we've got a place open for her. So she said, I'll go. I'll make the commitment. It's a year long. She said, well, what's going to happen to the baby? She has a baby, a year old. Livy, we call her. Her name's Olivia, but we call her Livy. And I said, Lexi, I know there's nowhere for Livy to go. I said, if you will commit to Teen Challenge for 1 year, we will take Livy. Now, can I just tell you guys, it has been 20 years. My children are grown. My oldest son is an ordained pastor, okay? My kids are 26, 25, and 18. I have not had a baby in the house for that long. Our house is not baby-proof. I have not been used to any of this. And this had to be immediately. We had to leave that day to get Livy from Baltimore, that day. And it was just like that day and bring her home. It was on her first birthday. We got her first birthday, July 10th. And we took off to put my niece in Teen Challenge and to bring the baby home. And I really, really thought that people were just going to think I was crazy because my life is already so busy I can't even shave both legs in one day. It's really, really busy. And I'm like, I know, Pastor, it's bad. And I thought my assistant at the district office was just, I really, truthfully, I'm going to tell you, I thought she was going to be mad because she always tells me, you're already too busy, you don't need to take anything else. But I'm going to tell her I'm bringing a baby home. I thought she was going to be really mad, but not only was she not mad, she was really supportive. And there was only a couple, I had to leave right then to get the baby and come back. And do you know, by the time I got back from bringing Livy back, my whole office was completely filled with a humongous baby shower from ladies all over the state of Florida. You know, my niece, my great niece, Libby, had never slept in a crib her entire life. Never slept in a crib. While my niece was passed out on drugs, she would crawl around on the floor and just exhaust herself to sleep. She never had, her car seat was broken in half when I picked her up. I had to take her right to urgent care. She was so sick the moment we picked her up. She never had a stroller, never had a high chair. To this day, I've tried to get her to sit in a high chair. But because she's never done it before, she still prefers to sit on my lap for every single meal. And so anyway, and I kind of let her get away, you know, let's not tell anybody, but I kind of let her get away with more because I just, you know, I don't let her cry. You know, I carry her around all the time. I just shower her with so much affection just because of all she's been through. So when I'm home, it's hilarious. I could go on and on with Livy's stories. And Odalis has seen, you know, many pictures of her because I put pictures of her constantly on my Facebook. But she's on this hip all the time when I'm home. I can cook a meal with one hand. I can load the dishwasher with one hand. And anytime I go to put her down, she lifts her legs as high as she can go and just, you know, she doesn't want me to put her down. So anyway, we didn't have anything for her. Nothing. When we brought her back from Baltimore, we had nothing, not one thing for her, for that child. And when I got back to the office, my office was full with everything we could ever need for her and more. God provided. God provided. And my niece has been in the program for 6 months, and she's doing amazing. They have 75 women in the program, and they travel on Wednesday and Sunday to give their testimonies and to sing. And they choose 12 ladies out of 75 to be in the choir. And since the third week, she's been in the choir. And she travels every week and gives her testimony. When they start out there, they begin doing maintenance. They, you know, when you're a newcomer, you work outside, you pick up sticks, you rake things, you know, you're picking up leaves, you're doing all that. And she said, Auntie Anna, I just am praying that God will help me to work hard and, you know, get other jobs, you know, on the property. So then she started, you know, she worked her way up to working in the learning center. And then last week when she called, she's allowed to have a 10-minute phone call. She called and she said, Auntie Anna, guess what? She said, I'm working now as the administrative assistant to the director. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. That's amazing. 6 months ago, she was on the verge of death. On the verge of death. Now, she has things to work out from before, from her past life. So, you know, a couple months ago, my husband and I had to go back to Baltimore to testify in a court case because she has a couple unresolved court things. And so we went back to testify. And, you know, keep in mind, my sister is still an unbeliever. Her husband has never known anything about Jesus at all. And so he's seen all this for the first time. And he's about this close to getting saved because he says, I have never seen a transformation in anybody's life like I've seen in Lexi. It's amazing. But my sister is still backslidden. And I had told her way back when Lex went in the program, I said, you know, she's leaving a drug addict and she's going to come home an On Fire Pentecostal. And I said, and you're not going to mock it. You're not going to make fun of it. You're going to support it. She goes, yeah, I will. Well, now she's on fire. So she comes home for this trial and for this court case. And, you know, we went through that and it went well and everything. And then we were driving home and my sister turns to Lexi and dares to call her a Pentecostal Bible thumper. She says, you're just one of those Pentecostal Bible thumpers now. And I said, I corrected. I said to my sister, don't you say that about her. Don't you ever say that again. And Lexi says, oh, no, Aunt Deanna. Oh, no. Let her say what she wants. She says, I promise you her exact words. She says, let her say what she wants because I have drank the Kool-Aid and I am an On Fire Pentecostal. You let her say what she wants. She says, that's right, Mom. You just say what you want about me because I am an On Fire Pentecostal. And then we're riding back to the house. You know, she doesn't care. She's like, call me what you want. She's like, God's done this work in my life, and you need to turn your life over to the Lord, Mom, and you're not going to be happy until you do. And da, 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 you know, she's going. And so we're riding back to the house and, you know, getting ready to take her back to Teen Challenge. And we're on this ride, you know, my husband, my brother-in-law, my sister, Lexi, and me. We're on the ride back, and, you know, they're just trapped in the car with us. She says, Aunt Deanna, do you know this worship song? I said, yes, Lexi, I know that. She said, sing it with me. So we sing it. We finish that worship song. She says, Aunt Deanna, do you know this worship song? I say, yes. She said, sing it with me. All the way back. Then she says, you know, at Teen Challenge, I have to take testimony class. I have to do my testimony. And we have to pass testimony class to graduate Teen Challenge. She says, Mom, would you like to hear my testimony? So my sister hears her testimony. And then we get back to the house, and my husband is watching the baby, and my sister goes upstairs, and Lexi and I are just down in the kitchen having a cup of coffee. And she says, Aunt Deanna, Dustin, that's our son, Dustin is ordained with the Assemblies of God, right? And I said, yes. And she says, and you're ordained with the Assemblies of God? I said, yes. Oh, and Uncle Larry's ordained with the Assemblies of God? I said, yes. She says, Aunt Deanna, how do you get ordained with the Assemblies of God? She goes, I think I'm called. Hallelujah! 6 months ago, my niece was on the verge of death, waiting to get a phone call that she had overdosed. Today, she's an On Fire believer who says she is called to the ministry. Hallelujah. And what I'm here to tell you today is just because it hasn't happened yet, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Hallelujah. Press through. Press on. I don't care if it's been 2 weeks, 5 years, 12 years. God is in the miracle working business. And you say, but you know what? Yeah, you're giving all these statistics, but it's been a really long time for me. It's been a lot longer than 12 years. Let's turn to John 5 together. John 5. Let's look at John 5. Some of you have been waiting a really long time. John 5. Starting in verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. And now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which is Aramaic, is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Underline that in your Bible. For 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Now that's a sermon all in itself. I could just preach a sermon today called, do you want to get well? But I won't. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. And then Jesus said, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And at once, the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and walked. My friend, I tell you this today, even if it has been 38 years or more, God still sees you. God knows. Don't give up. Continue to press in. Continue to believe. You say, well, I've come down to the altar so many times. Keep coming. I've circled the sanctuary so many times. Keep circling. I've woke up every morning and prayed for so many years. Keep doing it. I've written out my prayers for so long. Keep doing it. I've come to prayer meeting for so long. Keep doing it. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. God will intervene. Be persistent. Back when we came to Tampa, almost 14 years ago, we faced one of the worst situations of our life as we began to pastor our church. I thank God every day that He did so many miracles to get us where we needed to be, because as any pastor can tell you, when the road gets rough, then you start questioning, oh, did I really hear from God? You know, at least I do. You know, you say, did I really hear from God about this? And God did so many miracles, like the ones I'm telling you about, to bring us to Tampa, that I never doubt we were supposed to come there. I could bring you a message just on those miracles and the miracles of Jesus in that regard. It's just incredible what He did to get us to Florida. We already knew that we were coming to a challenging situation. The church had gone through several big splits before we got there. You know, problems with conflict, church splits, huge financial problems, leadership problems. We knew we were coming into all that, and we were okay with that. We were prepared, as prepared as you can be. I mean, of course, we didn't feel like, hey, we got this, you know. But we felt like with God, all things are possible. And we know these problems that the church is facing, and with God, we're going to face these problems. But we had no idea what we were coming into. We came to Tampa, preached the morning and evening service, and the church voted on us, and we got 100% of the vote. And so we went home to Maryland, and we began to pack our boxes and tell our church that we were going to be transitioning. But it was only right after we got home, the day after we got home and began to prepare all this, that the secretary of the church from Tampa called us. And she was screaming so loud we couldn't understand what she was saying. I mean, she was just absolutely wailing on the phone. Have you ever had somebody that is going through stress and you know, a tragedy has happened and they're just screaming so loud you can't even understand a word they're saying, and you got to get them to calm down so you can just talk to them? And my husband kept saying, Cordy, calm down. I can't even understand a word you're saying. And when she finally calmed down, she was able to tell us that a tragedy had happened the night before, right after choir practice, with one of the choir members, a lady in the church named April. Immediately after choir practice, her husband, who was our head usher of our church, murdered her. Murdered her after choir practice. 70 blows to the head. Her head was twice as big the size. Unrecognizable. These people are upper middle class, great jobs, several small children. You know what? You can have a lot of things going on. Everything can look okay on the outside, but it can really be hell on the inside, and nobody realizes what's really happening. This was a situation of domestic violence in the home that was hidden from the church people. She didn't have an enemy in the world, it seemed, except her husband. I remembered her immediately when the secretary called, even though we had, you know, so many people that we had met in just one Sunday. I immediately knew who she was. Because Sunday morning after the altar service, she came running up to me and she said, Pastor Deanna, I'm April. I just want to ask you, what color is your kitchen going to be? Because I'm making you something special. I immediately knew who she was. When we came to Tampa, our first responsibility, my husband's first responsibility as pastor, was to plan that funeral. I'm telling you, it was like something out of a movie. It's horrible. One of his first responsibilities was to designate rows of the church for media. Newspaper reporters, television reporters, because they wanted to be there to hear what's going to be said. I mean, this was in all the papers, on all the news channels. Everybody knew about it. I had agreed to, as part of the interview process, they had asked me if, you know, you end up coming here to pastor the church, will you teach our ladies Sunday school class? And I said yes. So that Sunday, that first Sunday that I came to Tampa, I walked into that ladies Sunday school class to face a group of ladies that just wept and wept and wept. One of their dear friends dead. I didn't know her like they did, but my heart was broken. I could only imagine how broken their hearts were. They cried and cried, and they cried for so long. And you know, many times when people go through something like this, they ask a question of their pastor. They'll say, why? Explain this to us, pastor. Can you help us? And you know what? I didn't have an answer for that. And sometimes we try to be all big and bad and like make up an answer, you know, in life. But I've just found that what folks need is not some made up answer. Just honesty. I said, I don't know. I don't have the answer. I don't know why this happened. This is horrible. It's tragic. I don't have any answer for you. All I can do is sit here and cry with you. And that went on for a really long time. Here we were trying to bring this church out of so much ruin, so much financial ruin, leadership ruin, problems, and a murder. And it was, I don't mind telling you, it was really stressful. We were strong publicly, but behind the scenes, it was so stressful trying to move the church forward when on top of all these problems, we had so much grief from this horrible situation. And then being known in town as the church where that murder, you know, that lady was murdered, and, you know, the church that split. And I mean, you know, you're trying to invite people to the church and it's like, isn't that the place where, you know, it's like, how do you move forward? How do you invite people to church? It was hard. So I began to really get stressed out and feel, you know, just your body will react with pain when you're under that much stress. I was really reacting with pain, and I had gone to the doctors and said, I'm not feeling well. And so the doctor had prescribed some tests, and I needed to have some x-rays as a part of that. So I went to a place called Tower Radiology. It's a popular x-ray place in Tampa, and three of our church people work there. For so many months, the people had said, God says he works all things together for the good of those who love him. And the question I got more than any other was, what good's going to come out of this? There's no good that can come out of this. And I would just say, you know, I don't understand. I really don't have an answer for that. I guess we just have to wait on God because I don't know. But it's interesting how God works things out. I went in to have this x-ray. You never know when and where God's going to move. I went in to have this x-ray, and as I was in the examination room, one of the guys at our church that works there came over to the room and knocked on the door, and he said, Pastor Deanna, when you get your things ready to go, would you mind coming down to meet my boss? I said, sure. So I got my things and got ready to go and went down to meet this lady who runs Tower. She actually runs three Tower Radiologies. And when I met her, the first thing she said to me was, he speaks so well of you and your husband. Can I just tell you that one of the greatest ways to win people to Christ and grow your church is to speak well of your pastor? Because nobody wants to come to your church if you don't speak well of the leaders. I mean, that's kind of crazy when we think about it. I could preach a whole message about this. I really could. Do you know how many people that I have talked to that have been in the church for a while and their kids have grown up there, and then the kids turn 18 and they, you know, they move forward in life. And I've talked to so many people who have said, we just don't understand why our son doesn't want to go to church anymore now that he's grown. And I want to say, could it be that you've criticized me and my husband for years? Why would he want to be in church? This is a way that we're losing a lot of our kids. Can I just tell you that? We're losing a lot of our kids from the churches today because when they hear their parents not lift up the leadership and speak well of the church, they don't want to go back when they turn 18. Just know that. You want your kids to keep coming to church? Speak good things. Speak good things. So the first thing this lady says, she wants to meet me. Not that I'm some celebrity or something. I'm not. But see, here's the thing. She's heard only good things from this man. Oh, my church is so great. Oh, my church is so wonderful. Oh, you just need to come to my church. Oh, my pastors are so wonderful. And here I am there for a test. She says, oh, I'm excited to meet you. He talks about you all the time. You know, all three of them do. They all say, you know, we love our pastors. So you know how sometimes you just meet somebody and you just click? Well, that day, her and I, we just clicked. We just clicked. So we start going out for coffee. Her and I. And then she gives her heart to the Lord. You see, people can even get saved just because, you know, you've spoken well of the church. Now they want to hear about Jesus. So she gives her heart to Christ. And then one day we're sitting out at Panera Bread having coffee. And she says to me, Pastor Deanna, I want to tell you something. She says, there's something you don't know about me. I said, what's that? She says, well, years ago, I moved to Florida with just the clothes on my back. She said, in fact, I jumped out of a window with my two children and escaped to Florida. She said, I escaped to Florida because my husband, my ex-husband, tried to kill me and the kids three times. She moved from New York to Florida, outrunning her husband who was trying to kill them. She said, you know, most people just know me now as a businesswoman. They have no idea that I lived in the spring domestic violence shelter for 6 months when I first moved to Tampa and didn't have anything. And then I just worked my way, and through Tower until now I'm running three of the centers. Nobody knows that that's how I started. She said, now, I've been praying about this, and I really want to make a difference. She said, would you consider allowing me to start a group for abused women? Well, see, she didn't know anything about April. And it was then that I said, oh, my lands, I really feel the Holy Spirit in this. I said, I think this might be what God wants to do. And we began to talk and plan on those coffee chats. Over the coming months, we planned and got things in order. And can I just tell you, it was a transformational day. When I stood before the congregation and I said, we've been waiting for years. We've been asking, what good could God possibly bring out of a bad situation? I said, today, I want to introduce to you a ministry that is launching called April's Hope. April's Hope. Those people stood to their feet, lifted their hands to heaven, and began to praise God and began to cry out to God and thank God that something good had finally come out of an evil situation. Hallelujah. April's Hope is a place where you can come in total privacy. No one is going to know. And the time and the place changes every month. We don't tell anybody where the meetings are. We don't tell anybody. You wonder, how does it work? Well, you know, only the ladies that are going to come to the meeting know where it's at. Male pastors don't even know. And the meeting time and place has changed every month. So that way, even if somebody somehow found out, they don't know when the next one is or where it is. So that woman is always safe to come and to receive ministry. She doesn't have to fear, even if her husband is a leader in the community or whatever, she doesn't have to fear that she can't come there to a safe place. And can I just tell you that it's awesome and it's also terrible that there's always people in that group. But you see, we wonder, when is God finally going to do something? How is God going to do something? We don't know. I would have never dreamed. And you know, our church was able to make a transition because the church also made a change when you could go into the grocery store, you could talk to friends or whatever, even though Tampa is a huge city, things get around, especially when they're splashed across the newspaper. So people would say, isn't your church the one where that lady was murdered or yada, yada, yada? So we went through a transformation as a church. See, God was changing our church. We were no longer a place that was experienced strife, conflict, church splits, you know, financial devastation. God had redeemed the church situation. We weren't what we were anymore. But the community didn't know that. So we went through a process of relaunching the church under a new name, which is Celebration Church. So now when you mention, come to my church, Celebration, people no longer say, isn't that the place where that lady was murdered? Isn't that the place where they went through? We got a new start. April's Hope was a place that, you know, God birthed great things out of pain. And now the church has a new start as well. And what I want to say to you today is that just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's going to happen. Not just in your life, not just in your family, but as a church. Just because you're not moved over on that land yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Just because it's not paid off yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. God will use you to pay it off. Just because you haven't seen your neighbor come to Christ yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And can I just tell you that usually it's the very worst it's ever been right before it's going to break through. And you say, you know, I want to give up. You know, you don't understand. The fire is hot. It's always the darkest right before it's going to break through. And if you only knew how close your breakthrough was, you would not give up. If you could only see the end from the beginning, and God knows the end from the beginning. I pray that all the time. I say, God, I'm so thankful you know the end from the beginning. Help me to stay the course. If you only knew how close your breakthrough is, you'd never give up. There's a true story of a group of miners. They were trapped underground. It's a tragic story, but we can learn from it. They were trapped underground, and unfortunately, they all died. But here is the moral of the story. They were digging their way out. They were trying to dig their way out, and they didn't accomplish it, and they died. But when they were rescued, the sad thing is that they were only a couple feet from freedom. When they found them, they were only a couple feet from total freedom. If they only would have known, don't you think they would have kept clawing just a little bit more? If they only would have known. And that's what it's like in your life, my friend. You're just a couple feet from that breakthrough. You're just a couple feet from freedom. If you could just stay the course, if you could just keep going. You say, you don't know what it's like to live with my husband. You don't know what it's like to live with my wife. You don't know what it's like to have my child out there on drugs. Stay the course. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And today, as your worship team, your wonderful worship team comes back, we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you today. Those of you, I believe we're all probably waiting for something. But you know, there's those of you that came here today. You might have even had a hard time getting yourself out of bed to come here to this church today, because even though it's a wonderful church, you aren't feeling so wonderful. You're feeling like, I'm discouraged. I've been waiting on things. They're not coming through. I'm depressed. I don't even feel like I can even get out of bed today, because I have circumstances in my life, financial circumstances, family circumstances, kids' circumstances, work circumstances. And you've been working and working and working and working, and you wonder when the breakthrough and the provision and all that is going to come in your life. Thank God you got up and came to church today, because you're here for a fresh infusion of hope. You're here for a fresh infusion of hope and for a touch from God that you can not only make it one more day, but that your breakthrough is at hand. Amen. Amen. Will you stand with us this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just stand with us. Oh, yes, God. Thank you that you're here today, God, and that just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And Lord, I just praise you, Lord, because you have all circumstances in control. And you say in your word in Psalm 138:8 that you'll perfect that which concerns us. We can trust you. You are worthy of our trust. You are worthy of our trust. You are wonderful. That means you are wonderful. And you have wonders yet to show us, Lord, in all of its fullness, God. You have a plan. You have a purpose. You know, it's unimaginable to us just how you're going to turn the tide, just how you're going to turn the circumstances. And God, I just pray for those in the room today that are tired. They're exhausted. Your word says, do not be weary in well-doing, for at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you faint not. And some of us today are tired of waiting for the proper time. And God, you're not judging us. You understand that we've been waiting and you've got your eyes on us. You know, Lord, the situation, you know, it's so amazing, Lord God, that we're all representing different situations and challenges and obstacles. And yet you have your eye. You're a good, good Father. You have your eye on each person here and their circumstance and their situation. And you haven't left them for a moment. You haven't left them for a moment. And today you want to touch people with your presence and just encourage them. Go on, go on, go on. If you need a special touch today, you say, Deanna, I was so discouraged today. I've been so discouraged this week. I'm waiting on a situation that it seems like I've just been waiting forever. I'm in pain of some sort, relational pain, financial pain, family pain, physical pain. I want to just invite you, come forward. We're going to pray. The pastors are going to pray for you today. Altar workers are going to pray for you today. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to believe that God is going to touch you today and that your miracle is at hand. God loves you. God loves you. He has not forgotten you for a moment, sister. He has not forgotten you for a moment, brother. God loves you so much. Come and allow him to just touch your life. And will you lead us in a song? Will you lead us in a song today as we go before the throne of God? Hallelujah. Just come forward. Don't wait. Don't be shy. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and he wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust him, and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website at www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.